Parenting's hard, you don't know what to do. You're blaming your kids, but it's probably you. You love your kids and that you can trust. Just remember your kids don't suck.
Welcome to Your Kids Don't Suck, cultivating closeness with your children through non-coercive conscious parenting. We're your hosts, Kara Tedstone and Rathia Lee. Let's dive in and grow together.
Welcome back to Your Kids Don't Suck, and we are so glad you're here. We're obsessed with our podcast, and we hope you are too. Today, this is Rathia talking. Almost a little more than a year ago, I made a TikTok video about non-coercive conscious parenting that went viral, and it changed my life because I really wasn't a parent-child advocate yet. I mean, I was living that way, but I wasn't helping parents directly except for my clients because I've been a therapist for a long time. And suddenly, I had this big platform. I started making videos almost every day, every other day, three times a week, and it became a pastime. And I couldn't do enough of it. I had so much to say, and it turned out there were all these people who wanted to know, and I would get comments all day long, and suddenly I had a whole other job that I didn't get paid for. So then I started these Zoom parent support groups to help parents meet each other, parents who were actively breaking generational cycles. And some people would join who were very beginners. They're just like, I know I can do it differently, but I don't know how. And some people who are really in the middle of, they've been trying it for a while. And some people who are veterans, they have teenagers, but they were hitting like a whole level of other shit because teenagers, right? So I've been running those groups and just have had my mind blown that there are generations of parents who are open to learning. So that's why we did this podcast. And I just fall in love with these people. I'm just so moved. People cry a lot in the groups. And I'm telling you this because I wanted to do a podcast where I could show what my process looks like as a parent who, I've been in therapy a long time. I'm a trauma survivor. I work with myself. I get triggered all the time, if not every single day, by my child or my family or my partner or myself. And then I have a way that I work with it. And I wanted you to see and hear how I do it. So that was what we decided to do, is that today I would pick an issue, a parenting issue, and I would process it. And Kara would witness me, maybe help me, ask questions, guide me a little bit if I get stuck. And the process that I use is called inner bonding. So it is a modality that was created by Dr. Margaret Paul and Erica Chopich. They are long-term collaborators, and they've written books. And I was trained in that work for 7 years. And then I do inner bonding, which is inner child work, with all my clients for 28 years. That's what I do. And it's also parts work. So you help people talk to different child parts. And there's also a guidance piece, which is like your higher self, where when you get to a certain part of the process, you check in with your higher self, or it's your intuition, or it's your spiritual guides, or however people conceive of it. So at some point I will do that in this process. Yes. And I am an extreme trauma survivor. So my childhood is so bad that it's really hard for me to ever talk about it because I'm always scared of traumatizing people. Just even saying I'm an incest survivor is so triggering to everybody, just even to refer to that. So I want to give you a trigger warning that I'm not going to get into anything graphic, but I will refer to childhood sexual abuse because there's no way for me to process without that. Everything leads back to that. And all that surrounded the fact that I was abused by my parents and no one helped me, and I was neglected, I was emotionally abused, I was physically abused. You know, there's no way for me to get around that. That's what I have to deal with and work with every single day. So when I process, I will be referring to that. So I'm just giving you that warning that I will be referring to that most probably. I have no idea what I'm going to share. I have no idea where it's going to go. I don't know if I'll have big feelings or not, but I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for this opportunity. Do you want to say anything, Kara?
Well, I've never done inner bonding. I'm not trained in it, and I don't know a lot about it other than what I've read. So it's really interesting because I've met and worked with so many people who work with trauma and families and parenting, and it hasn't come up for me. So I know a little bit about the process, but I am really excited to be part of it with you. And I'm curious, like, how you start it, you know, with a client. Do you explain how it works first?
So I give them an overview of what the process is, and then there's six steps to the process, but it takes a long time to learn how to do it. Mm. And so I take them through it, and sometimes people want to say, tell me each step as we go. So I'll say, this is step one.
Oh, interesting.
Sometimes it happens very intuitively, organically, and I don't say the steps. Sometimes we'll spend the whole time on one step, right? Because that's where we end up. But a lot of my clients end up doing it on their own. So they learn these six steps, and then I suggest they do it. You know, it'd be great to do it every day, but, you know, three times a week or whatever, to get used to it, checking in with your feelings, checking in with your inner child, figuring out your false beliefs, connecting with your guidance. And now I do it. That's just how I think. I've been doing it for so long that it's just, I don't even know I'm doing it. My whole thought process is now organized that way.
This is so interesting, because I feel like a lot of these things that you're talking about, people might have heard of, but this six steps process, I think, will be helpful to share with people in a way to organize that for them.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think I should try to say the steps as I do them?
I think maybe that it would be helpful, and we'll include the steps in the show notes too. So we're hoping, I guess, for this episode to kind of be like, what would you call it? Like an example, right? For parents to actually be able to use this in their own lives. So I think you should say them as you do them.
Okay. It's very weird because there's actually usually several steps in each step. So it's like not so super clear, but I'll still say them. And also I've added a step of my own, which is working early. I've added to, you know, go back in time and see where this false belief comes from. That's what I do with all my clients. So I think that was the intention of that work, but I've really made it explicit. I shove that in there. So
this is going to be really, really interesting. I'm really excited.
Okay. So I want to be really transparent that the issue I'm bringing up is so triggering for me. Like, it's a 10 out of a 10. Like, I could almost cry just saying I'm going to work on it with you, Kara, because, you know, I was telling my group last night, my support group, there are some issues we have as parents that we move through. Mm. We move through them. The child grows out of certain things, or you change, you have a shift, you have an aha, and you stop being triggered by that thing, you know. Yeah. But some issues just persist week after week, month after, you know, and you work, you know, for me, I'm in therapy and I like wail on it. I really try, you know, I do EFT, I do tapping on it. I talk to my partner about it. This trigger has just persisted, although my behavior around it has improved.
Interesting.
So I'm talking about bedtime. I'm going to talk about bedtime with my 12-year-old daughter. I don't know when she started being a late night kid. So she doesn't go to school, so she can stay up late. And there's really no reason why she shouldn't stay up late since she's homeschooled, except that she insists that I lay down with her and help her go to sleep. She can't go to sleep unless I'm there. So I have to lie down with her, and I lie with her and she falls asleep, and I usually fall asleep. And then like a half hour later, I get up and I go in my own bed, and that's what we do. So I can't go to sleep until she goes to sleep. And she is, I don't know why, but she just, like, when it hits 10 o'clock, she just wakes up. Like, she, even if she has been not doing much or doing a lot, like, you think she would get tired, but she has like her third or fifth wind at like 10 o'clock, and suddenly she wants to do everything. And then even if we start getting ready for bed, she'll just take a really, really long time to get ready for bed. So she'll take forever to brush her teeth, and she'll take forever to put on her pajamas, and then she has to have three snacks, and then it takes forever to three snacks, and she needs to check her texts or like whatever, and she just stalls and stalls, and then she has to take off her makeup, or she wears makeup. So she has to take off her, she do her skin routine, and then she has to like brush her teeth, and then, you know, everything just, and then just, and no matter how early we start, it's usually midnight that we get in the bed. And lately it's like 12:30 or 1. I'm going to cry. And so me and my partner have tried all kinds of things where I take a nap from like 9 to 10. But now he works. So he used to stay up with her and we'd take turns. But like now he works full time and gets up at like 5 in the morning. So he can't help me anymore at night. So it's just me. And it used to be that I would become a total asshole, reactive, controlling, mean person. And then he would switch out. In fact, my daughter would say, go get well. Mm. We'd both be like, "Go, someone go get well because you're becoming an asshole."
Mm-hmm.
But now he can't do that because he has to go to sleep by 9:30. And so if I start becoming an asshole, there's no one to help her. It's just me, the asshole. So I have to say, I've definitely improved. I used to say biting mean things, you know, and the phrase that comes up over and over again is this: I feel that she's torturing me. It feels like she's torturing me. And so I start saying little mean things to her, like, I don't know, little things like, can't you care about anyone else but yourself? Like parents say that, I'm so horrified to admit, or like, why do you do this to me? I can't take this, or like, I'll threaten, you know what, I'm just going to sleep, and you just put yourself to bed, and, you know, then she'll start having a panic attack, you know, she'll start panicking, like, no, I'm doing the best I can. And then she also doesn't like that she goes to bed so late, so she'll be like, Mom, I really want to do it differently, like, tonight I really want to go to bed early. And I'll be like, really? Okay, let's try it. What do we need to do? Let's both get off our phones at 9, you know, we'll try all different things. And it just doesn't really ever work.
Mm.
And I get hopeful. What's really stupid is that every night I get hopeful that we're going to go to bed earlier. And I remember when we did the podcast with Tanisha, she was like, give up time, give it up, give up tracking time.
Mm.
And I've tried that. I've had a bunch of really good nights. Like, I'm not always a jerk and I'm not always uptight and triggered, but I would say at least half the time I'm in memory. I go into memory of being tortured at night and not having control over my own body. And I'm giving her a freaking night complex. She'll say that. She's like, you're making me feel guilty, like, and bad. And, you know, she has shame. Like, she'll text me, I'm sorry. Like, if she sleeps at her dad's house, she'll text me, I'm sorry, Mama, I went to bed late last night again. And like, she goes to bed late every night. Now she's apologizing because she feels shame about it, because I've shamed her so much.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Does she know why, like, what, so her, she needs you, she wants you because she can't fall asleep. What does she say about that? What's it like for her to not have you? Or what's her fear or worry? Or like, what's her mind doing when she's like thinking about going to sleep alone?
Oh, it's just out of the question. She's just like, absolutely not. She's like, no, Mom, I could never do that. You know, it just makes her panic. Like, and also it's like, even though I'm saying I'm a jerk, once we get in bed, we talk and talk and talk. So she tells me everything and we cuddle. It's like when we don't cuddle a lot during the day. I mean, we hug sometimes, we hold hands, but like, night is like when we cuddle and we're close and we really connect emotionally, and she tells me what's going on. So I've also been really torn about it, because I'm like, this is actually the best time of the day with her. You know, why am I trying all the time to shut it down? Like, why can't I just surrender? And I tell myself things in my head like, oh my God, this is like bad for my health. And meanwhile, I'm divorced. And for 3 nights a week, I go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. I can do whatever I want. Like, I just feel like such an idiot, except that when we get into why I'm triggered, we won't think I'm an idiot anymore. You know, I have really good reasons for being triggered. I just feel so sad that I can't seem to shift this. Like, I am trying. I have fantasies of having family meetings where I say, Tori, like, I really need this to be different. We need to, you know, she's going to school in the fall, so we're all hoping that when she has to get up at like 6 in the morning, she'll naturally go to bed earlier. Jeez, I pray, you know, because I have to get up early with her. And
but you haven't had the family meeting. You've just thought about it.
Yeah,
because when I'm wondering if you've talked about all of this, like how you're saying it now. Have you said that to her? Like, have you said, you know, in an age appropriate way?
She absolutely knows.
She knows.
Oh, she knows. Yeah, she knows. Yeah, if I refer to it, she'll even say, I know, it's because your childhood. You know, she totally knows. And she's kind of like, that's not my problem.
She knows it affects you too.
Yeah. Oh, like what's happening? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like the sleep deprivation, I guess.
I am clearly complaining every night.
Right, like you're telling her what's going on.
I shut down. I start, my face changes. My energy changes. I'm tight. Mm. When she's like, oh, I have to pee one more time, I get tight. She's like, oh, I just need, can you go get the cat so he can sleep with us? I'm like, oh. And she goes, oh, I forgot my thing downstairs. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just get mad. Like, I'm not like that as a parent, but I am like that about 11 o'clock at night on.
And you've told her that you don't want to do it anymore.
It's so obvious, Kara. Like, it's so clear that.
But because I'm wondering where she goes with that. Like, she's just like, no.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like she doesn't care about me, but I think that for whatever reason, her system opens up at night. It's not her fault.
But the sleeping with you, because, you know, I'm thinking about other options. It's like she could sleep in the room. You could stay till midnight and then leave, but she won't go to sleep on her own, is what you're saying.
She never ever fallen asleep without me.
She literally can't. That's what she says.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess I've been too triggered to like really break that down with her.
That's what I want to know, because I wonder if there's a way to collaborate there.
All right. Why don't we get to that? Why don't we get to solutions at the other end of my process?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Because we'll bookmark that, because I'm like, that's where my brain is going right now. So let's come back.
Okay. It's very possible she would just be like, absolutely not. No way. But anyway. Okay. So that's the story. Okay. That's the setup. Step one is, what am I feeling and where do I feel it in my body? I feel really sad. I feel really angry. Ugh, I feel tightness in my chest and I feel tears in my eyes. I feel some shame. Yeah, I feel a lot of grief in the like center of my chest. Yeah, grief and shame and anger and just kind of cascading through my body. Okay, so that's step one. Mm. And step two is open to learning about your feelings instead of trying to get rid of them, fix them, judge them. Analyze them. So you can either be in the intention to learn about your feelings, or you can be in the intention to protect against your feelings. And this is the step where you really choose to open to your feelings, which is very important, because most of us just try to get rid of our feelings right away.
Yeah.
And like skip to the solution.
Yes, like I was doing. How do you help clients do that? What's your language? I work with that too. What do you kind of, it's almost like somatic. Right? It's the body. It's opening. It's not analyzing and refuting or shoving them down and trying to be mindful so that you just watch the thoughts. It's like opening to the feeling. How do you coach your clients through that?
I mean, we say, let's start at step one. What are you feeling right now? And I give them five feelings: mad, sad, scared, ashamed, and happy. And I have them. And a lot of times, I mean, it takes people a while, months of working, to be able to actually figure out what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Those are my feelings. And I'm open to learning. I'm very good at being open to learning. And then, okay, so then you imagine that your feelings, for me, it's shame and anger and sadness, are your inner child, that it's your inner child that's having the feelings. And you try to picture the child inside is having them. For me, an angry child is very apparent. I see a very angry part of me inside. She's so mad. And the sad shame is not as clear. I just see a really angry kid. So I'll just start with that. And then in this step, your adult self. So your adult self is supposed to be taking care of your inner child. And if your inner child's having upset feelings, you want to find out why. Like, as the loving adult, how are you failing your child? So you ask, you're like, hey, what am I doing or telling you right now that's making you so mad? And then you become your child self, and your child self answers. So, honey, what am I doing or telling you is making you so angry right now and maybe sad and ashamed? You're telling me that I have no choices around this whole situation. Like, I'm just a victim, and I can't take care of myself. And if I do try to take care of myself, I'm hurting my child.
Mm.
Like, I can't get my needs met, because that means I'm hurting somebody else.
Mm.
And also, I'm a jerk for reacting, and I'm a jerk for not being able to make this better, and I'm a jerk for still being triggered after all these years. And like, why can't I just flow with it. What the fuck is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Like, here I am. I'm this non-coursive coach. Like, what the fuck? Like, can't I just be like, time doesn't exist, like Tanisha says. Like, why mm-hmm. every single night do I still have to be reacting? It's so demoralizing, this part is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a judger that's like, why are you still reacting? Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Yeah, like, you should be over these triggers by now. You shouldn't be still having these triggers. Mm-hmm. That's really stupid. Like, you know, you got abused. You know what happened. I've been over it a million times with my therapist. Okay. I was kept up and terrible things happened in the middle of the night. And, you know, all kinds of other things interrupted my sleep. There was fighting and, you know, night was very unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a whole secret world that happened at night and like fucked up my sleep. And then I had to get up and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of my stress is like, I have to get up tomorrow. I get really, really mm-hmm. anxious. Like, I got to get up tomorrow and she can sleep in. So that's the thing mm-hmm. is she can sleep in because she doesn't go to school. She can sleep till 10 or 11 and I can't. I have to get up at 8:30 and be with my clients. So, okay. So I'm telling myself I should be over this. I guess that's the biggest thing. I'm telling myself I should be over this and I can't figure it out. I can't get my needs met because I'd be hurting my child. So,
So you're stuck.
Yeah. So then part of step three is you ask, you tune into your guidance, which could be like your higher self, which gets developed. It takes time to develop this. I'm doing it like it's easy because I've been doing it for so long, but it's taken a long, long, long time. So you tune into your higher self and you ask, what is the main false belief that's getting me so angry and upset? And let's see what it is. Okay. So the main false belief is that there's something wrong with me for being so reactive. And in a way, I'm not at all being loving or kind to myself.
Mm-hmm.
When the trigger comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I'm not loving or kind to my daughter either. Cause I'm being horrible. Guess what I'm realizing is I'm not just being horrible to her. I'm being horrible to myself. That's what's coming up right now. Right. And I'm just like trying to get over it. Like every night I'm just going, well, tonight's going to be the night that we're going to go to bed early. And I'm not really open to learning about like, okay, I'm probably going to get triggered tonight. How can I show up for how triggered I'm going to get tonight? You know, like there's no compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a fix it. It's like a fix it approach. I'm like mm-hmm. doing a fix it approach with myself. Okay, so that's the false belief. And that's step three. And then I added this is that you go back in time and you take the false belief back in time, like this belief, what's wrong with me for being so reactive? And you see where it lands. And this is where I feel like a lot of feelings because, yeah, I couldn't have any issues as a kid. You're not allowed to have issues. I was not allowed to have issues about getting abused. I had to just get up and just stuff it down every single day. And every night I had to get ready for bed knowing I was going to get abused and then just, you know, probably tell myself, you know, shut up. Don't have an issue about this. And I think it's so amazing how we make our children our abusers. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally think in my brain every night, she's torturing me. You know, I'm like making her my abuser. And it's terrible. I just don't want to do that to her at all. I don't care how subtle it is. And it's not that subtle, actually. Yeah. There was no space for this. Mm-hmm. There was never space for this. I had no one to talk to. I couldn't even know what was happening to myself. I had to cut it off. So I guess I'm still really doing that. It's so amazing to see. I'm still just trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. Just trying to cut off my fin, just get through it, just fix it. I'm not like, oh, I'm not even showing Tori like, sweetie, I'm hitting that stuff again right now. Like I'm hitting my stuff.
Mm.
Here we are. You know, I'm not even really being honest with her. I'm just trying to like get through it. Like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Like, this is what I coach parents. Like, just slow down and just be with your feelings. It's like really hard because the stuff I have to be with is so violent, terrible. Okay, so am I going too fast? Okay, so step four is I got the false belief. And now I have to get the truth about the false belief. So the false belief is I shouldn't be having this issue. My guidance is saying, this is the truth, okay? I don't have to rush. I have to stop rushing. Like, I have to stop trying to get over it and just make space for it and talk to Tori like... Like, I just have to tell her, like, I'm so sorry that I'm still so uptight and reactive and rushy. And, like, I'm so sorry. And I think I have to just really be, like, she's 12. I feel like she can handle it if I just be, like, I'm so triggered from my old stuff. And I think we do need a family meeting, but not about, like, how do we fix this? Like, I don't want a family meeting. Like, how do we fix it? But, like, hey, I just want to acknowledge, like, I'm still really reactive and you're alone with me on those nights and I'm doing my best. And so the truth is that I don't need to be over it. I guess that's the truth. The truth is I don't need to be over it.
Yeah.
If I stop trying to get over it, I could actually be with it when it's happening. And then the triggers could be a gift. I could be like, wow, this is how it was for me. Yeah, it's like I'm trying to pretend I'm not having the experience I'm having, and I'm focused on her. And this is what every parent does. We just focus on controlling our children so we don't have to feel something. And this is a hard one to feel, right? Like, this is really hard. This is like incredible powerlessness and incredible violence. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to be with it. I don't want to feel it in my body. I just want to go to sleep. I just want to go to sleep. Like, can't she just let me go to sleep? You know, that's where I go.
I think a lot of parents feel that when their kids are young. I think that's really common when their kids are really young.
But it's like not sleeping is not life threatening. Like the way I approach it is so like with such a sense of survival. I don't think it's shortening my life. You know, I tell myself, oh my God, if I keep not sleeping, I'm going to shorten my life. That's something I tell myself a lot. It's not shortening my life. Well, let me just tune into my guidance. My guidance, I'm scared it's like fucking up my health, going to sleep so late. And, you know, it's not ideal. It's not dangerous. It's not ideal. But it's an opportunity, even though it's like there's a lot of things in parenting that are not ideal. We sacrifice so many things. We don't eat it because we're running around. You know, there's all kinds of things you sacrifice as a parent. This is something you're definitely sacrificing. And that's hard. And it's something deeply unresolved in you. Most of your trauma, my guidance is saying to me, happened in the middle of the night, most of it. And the truth is, I'm not tired during the day. It's not like, oh, and I'm dragging because of this. I'm actually not dragging. I'm fine. I do fine with it because of the other nights that I get to go to bed early and because my life is fine. I just, it's not really that big of a problem.
Yeah. Because for some people it really is.
Yeah.
For some people it really, really affects them. They can't drive. They can't work. They can't function.
Right.
You know, there are people who suffer from PPA insomnia like me. Sleeplessness for me was a huge, huge problem.
Yeah.
But
I used to have that.
It was constant. Yeah. It was like relentless.
I had insomnia for years and years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually sleep really well once I sleep. And I sleep really well when I fall asleep next to her. And it's really not dangerous, life threatening and ruinous.
Like it's not impacting your functioning in that way.
It's really not. You know, I used to have hot flashes and I would get up like 10 times a night and that was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolute hell. This is not that. And our sweetness together, you know, before she goes to sleep is so worth it. But So what step are we on? So we got the truth. Okay, so step five is what's the loving action? So this is where we get to problem solve, like what could I do? Usually you tune into your higher self or your intuition. You ask, what's the loving action? And my guidance is saying the main loving action for me is to stop trying to get over this problem and to actually open to it. Without trying to solve it, like to even talk to Tori about it, like, I don't know how to solve this. I mean, she really doesn't want to stay up so late too. And we can just be like, we don't know how to solve this together. What can we do together? But my tension and my stress, and that, I'm sure that just is so much pressure for her. Mm. And yeah, I think it's very stressful because I change personalities.
Mm. Yeah.
It's funny, but you're suggesting about her maybe going to sleep by herself. I actually feel so sad and torn about it.
Right. Like part of you doesn't even want that.
Yeah. That's my special time with her.
Mm-hmm. That's why this is so hard for you, because you feel like, I know you said you feel like you're being tortured, but you're also...
Once we get in the bed, we're fine.
Right. But it takes so long that that process is hard.
Hours.
Yeah.
It takes so long.
But then at the same time, you have that other part of you that is like, no, I want this.
Yes, I'm torn.
But you want to let go of the feeling of being tortured, because ultimately you want this.
I do.
That's what people, I want them to understand, that that's, both things can be true. You can want something that's happening with your child that you also partially hate. You know, people do want to jump to fixing things right away and controlling their kids, but sometimes it's not that simple, because you could tell her, look, I'm not going to do this anymore. I really can't. I can't do it anymore. And I'm going to be going in my room at 11, and you're welcome to come in my room, but I'm going to be staying in my room, or whatever. You could have this whole conversation, if that's where you were going with it, and tell her, I'm not doing it anymore.
I guess so, but I don't even work that way, Kara. Like, even when you talk like that, I'm like, that is not actually how I usually talk to my kids.
I know, but also I don't think that would work for you anyway, because that's not really what you want. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it would be a different story if you were like, I need a solution. Like, I need to figure out something different.
Yeah.
But you're saying more
also,
so that
she really does care about me. That's the thing. I made it sound in the beginning like she doesn't care about my needs, but she really, really does. Yeah. She apologizes a lot. She'll go, Mom, I'm so sorry I'm taking so long. I know you hate this. No. Like, she's definitely aware.
Yeah. But it sounds like you don't want to change the laying with her till she goes to sleep thing.
I guess I don't. No, I just want to do it all earlier. That's all.
Because I think I would. If it were me, I would want to change that. I mean, I don't know. Because I'm not in your situation now after all those years, right? And also the reward that you get. So I don't know, but I think I would. Just based on what I'm hearing in your story. If I look at myself and my triggers and the way that I sleep and my sleep issues, and I'm like, I think I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I like it. I guess it's good to say that I do really like it. I love cuddling with her. It's like my fave. We lie on our backs and we hold hands and we talk.
Oh, well, the reframe from the tortured part is that it's actually a choice. You know what I mean?
This is good. This is good to see it. It's a choice. And then wait, and then we roll to our sides and I put my arm around her. Oh, and it's just the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then she falls asleep and it's so nice.
Yeah.
Yes, that it's a choice, right? The reframe is it's not torture because it's a choice, but I don't feel that way leaning up to the bedtime is the problem. Like, there's about a 2-hour window where I'm in complete wreck.
Yeah.
And there's been many times where I think let go of time. And I just do my own thing and I write and I answer emails and I edit my TikToks and I check in with her. And then when we go to sleep, it's not a big deal. I mean, I do have this, not mostly not though.
Yeah. And just another practical question. You can't sleep while she's doing stuff. She needs you to like lie down with her.
I could. That's the other thing. It's like, there's so many ways that I'm so triggered.
Yeah,
that I don't can. Like, Will is always saying, why don't you just go lay down? Why don't you go just do yoga? Why don't you go do something relaxing? And it's like, I'm so triggered. I can't even do that. I can't
right.
even do that.
Right.
And I
That's
just keep my focus on trying to get her. I'm like, no, if I do that, then she'll really take longer. So I have to like be like, honey, are you done with that snack? Are you ready? Can you put on your pajamas? No. Like, I just follow her around, like
pulling on her a little bit.
Absolutely.
Like, what if you didn't do that?
I am not sure. Maybe we should do an experiment. But the thing is, okay, I could change my behavior and we could do an experiment where I just don't say anything and see what happens, which could end up being more 2 in the morning. But I think I still have to be with the fact that I'm in pain. I think that's what I'm learning from this session.
Yeah.
From this process is that I actually have to show up for the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be like,
yeah, because
okay,
it's not going away.
Night is coming. I'm going into my pain and stop trying to get over it. That's what I have to do. And I have to start saying really nice things to myself. Like, sweetheart, I know this is a really scary time of night for you. I know you start feeling like you're being tortured. I know why that is. I have to start talking to my inner child. Like, I know why you feel tortured. It has nothing to do with Tori. And like, of course you're scared. Like so many bad things happen. And like, be my inner child's ally and see, instead of keep telling her to get over it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm telling her to get over it internally. And then I'm telling Tori to get over whatever, however, whatever she's dealing with that makes her take so long. And then it, you know, and this is what parents tell themselves is that their children is taunting them, manipulating them and torturing them. And I don't think she is. And I do, but I do think she is also interacting with my triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do think sometimes she's just becomes the silliest person at night. Like she'll do all these skits in front of the mirror. She'll just take extra, extra, extra long doing dances. Last night, okay, it's 11:30. And I'm like, oh my God, we're almost in bed. We're almost in bed early. This is amazing. And she goes, Mom, I kind of want to learn how to play guitar. I know it's really late, but could you get your guitar? I just want to learn a couple of chords. And like, she's never open to that. So I had to go get my guitar. And then then she learned a couple of chords. And then we went to sleep. And that happens a lot. Like right late at night, she's like, you know what? I want to learn this dance. And so she'll put a thing and she'll learn a dance and we'll learn a dance together. And like, it's fucking midnight. And we're like learning a hip hop dance. So anyway, and I don't know if that's just who she is or if she's actually reacting to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe she's trying to connect with you in those moments.
Yeah, or she's, you know, our children play our shadows. Like they actually play out our shadows. They don't mean to, but they pick up on it and they enact it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because there are torturers, but because they're just trying to, they get sucked into our dynamic and they play a role and they're, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the guitar thing or the dance thing or whatever the thing is, you feel like you don't want to say no because.
Because we don't do a lot of that stuff during the day. Like she's not really open to a lot of that stuff in the day. We're very busy doing other things. She's with her friends, da, da, da.
These are your time. This is your time.
Yeah, it's like she's suddenly open to like learning all these things, and doing things with me. And I'm like, I don't care what time it is. I want to learn this hip hop dance with her.
Right. So again, there's that like choice.
Yeah.
Because you could just say, no, I can't.
Right. But you also to remember, Kara, that I try not to say no. Remember that I'm trying all the time not to say no. So it's very challenging.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like I'm through it.
Hmm.
I wonder.
Well, how do you know that? How do you know?
Because I feel really clear what my tactic is going to be now.
What is it?
I'm going to make space for my trauma at night and stop trying to get over it. I'm going to be
inner critic judging voice with the self-compassion.
Yeah. And like, I'm actually going to show up for my pain instead of focus on her and try to control her. I don't know. That might mean I need to go write in my journal or I need to do some tapping or I just need to slow down and try to be kind to myself. Yeah. I'm going to change the whole focus of the night.
Yeah. Onto yourself, which is interesting.
Yeah. Onto myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know how we would do this, but I feel like maybe this should be some way that I report back.
Update.
Like what happens.
Yeah.
You know, what we could do is we could
do like a part two.
Yeah, we could like save this and then.
Yeah, we could release them together.
Yeah, and then we'll the other. Yeah, we'll record. Yeah, or we could just put them together. So like I could.
Yeah.
We could record another 20 minutes of like, well, what happened?
Yeah. So we should give it like a while. We should give it a while.
Really? How long? Like a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, I think a couple weeks. I was thinking a month, but. I mean, that might be too long.
I'll know a lot in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, that might be too long. 2 or 3 weeks sounds good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay. End of April or something. And then, okay. Yeah, we can put it together and be like after the break.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's like, do you want to know what happened? Yeah. Join us after the break. Yeah.
So here is Rithia 3 weeks later with an update for us.
So I think I left you a voice message about this, but the first week that I really let go of the bedtime, this really profound thing happened where my daughter, probably around midnight, started talking a lot about her pain and her deep longing for a best friend that would really get her. And my daughter does not cry very much. She started bawling her head off, which was amazing. And it happened probably around 1 in the morning, right? And people who are listening, I have a life. I have to get up early and I have clients. I mean, it's really hard for me, but I was like, wow, I let go of time and my daughter is totally having her big feelings. Like, wow. That was so interesting to me. She was really sobbing. And so she was saying, I just want somebody to get me. I want someone to get me. And I said, I really get you, Tori. She was like, I want someone besides you. I don't want just you. I want a friend who really, really sees me. And she was crying about this for a while. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, maybe you're my best friend. And we just cried. I just bawled. We just cried together, told her, we just cried. And I was like, oh my God. We just like cried and held each other. And then she stopped and she like looked in my eyes for a really long time. She was like really taking it in.
Oh my God. I know, this is too much. I can't take this.
Taking it in that I love her. And like, I felt like when she was looking in my eyes, I was like, okay, she's really, really taking in that I'm here.
It's really reminding me of how it feels when they're young and you do that with your young child who maybe, like, I'm thinking of my kid. You know, when they're really young and you look into their eyes and they look into yours and they're a toddler and they might not even say, I love you, but you know they're feeling it and they're saying it and they're saying it with their spirit.
Mm.
I feel like it's so rare to get that from your 12-year-old.
Mm.
What an insane moment.
It felt like a moment in my life. It felt like one of those shining, miraculous moment.
At 1 a.m. when you had to let go of time.
Exactly. Exactly. And it has continued. We're definitely going to sleep later and later. Last night was 1:30.
Rithia, I don't know if I could do this, what you're doing. I have to say, I feel like a fraud.
Everybody's judging me. Anyone who's listening to this right now is thinking, well, let me just tell you what they're thinking. They're thinking she's permissive.
Yeah, the kid is walking all over her. It's crazy. She's ruining her life.
No needs. This is not good. She has no needs. Because you're showing your kid that your needs don't matter.
This is so unhealthy for you too. Like you have, you know, you're a grown adult with clients. With clients, this is irresponsible. You need to sleep.
I could cry because I would give anything for that moment where she said, "Maybe you're my best friend." I would give. Hundreds of nights.
It hit me. I felt that.
Yeah. It felt so validating.
But Rithia, I don't know if I could do that. I want to say that. I don't know.
Well, honey, you're going to get the opportunity. Your kid might not be sleep. It might not be sleep. It might be something else that you don't think you could bend.
Yeah.
And you will make. And also, you know, I'm realizing again, because I talked about this the whole first half of this podcast, like she is absolutely forcing me to dismantle my nighttime abuse trauma. She's forcing
me
because I'm really rigid around sleep for a reason. Like I'm super like the other morning, I think it was this morning or yesterday morning, we had been up to 1:30 or whatever. And I was like, what is so terrible and dangerous about going to bed so late? Like there is nothing scary and bad about it. I don't actually suffer that much in tiredness. the next day, to be quite honest. I'm doing okay with it so far because I 3 nights a week she's at her dad's and I go to bed at 10 and I just,
Right.
it's okay. It's not that big a deal. What's a big deal is how much it triggers me.
Right. And that's
And
the other part of this too that I know
yeah.
that you reference with me that I think we should remind people of is that you have those other nights too that you try to catch up on sleep. So I just feel like that's something important that you also hold in your mind as well when you think about putting the relationship first in this way. Like you're thinking about, yes, I have a need for sleep, but also I have this logistical thing that I can use to help me catch up on sleep, to help me meet my need. Like you're able in a way to compromise on your need for sleep with Tori.
Right, so we're collaborating in
You're
a way.
collaborating, right? Like you're able to.
And on last night, I did go to sleep from 9:30 to 10:30. I had Will be with
Right.
her, and I slept for an hour. It really made a huge difference. So when I was up at 1, it wasn't like the most horrible thing because I'd taken a nap, and I'm going to try to do that more. I don't want to just forget my needs, but
Can I
I
ask you
also.
too, do you tell her about, like, do you talk about all that with her? That part of, tonight I'm gonna nap and then because I want to stay up with you. Like, how does that conversation go?
Like the other night, I don't know if I said this already. She said, "Mom, you're starting to do your night thing. I know
Right.
this is hard for
You're getting
you.
stressed out, you're getting angry or whatever.
I know this is hard for you." And she even said, "You have good reasons for why this is hard for you." Couldn't believe she said that. She said, "But we're probably not really going to go to bed any earlier. So why don't you take a breath and go downstairs and get me my snack?" I want to say something really essential before we end this episode on bedtime. This is so big. I want to see if I can possibly explain it. Okay, children will not take in your input if they feel controlled by you. They will start to resist you and tune you out. Then they will start to keep things from you. We know this is what all of our podcasts is about, is what control and coercion does is just put a wedge between you. And there's zillions of examples of this. Even if they're well behaved, blah, 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 you won't know them. So the thing is, when you do what I'm doing, which is doing everything I can to work with her needs and my needs together, and she stops feeling controlled, first of all, she starts caring about my needs because she really is. She's starting to notice them and try to help me with them. And also she will take in my input. And I have no doubt in my mind that once I stop being really triggered and rigid about nighttime
Right.
and we're staying up, but we're really close, that we will start to compromise. I don't think we're going to stay up this late forever. I really don't. I really don't think this is going to go on forever because I think she's going to work with me. Once she stops feeling controlled by me at night, she will start to work with me and go to bed earlier because we have gone through periods of time where we go to bed earlier. Also, she's starting school in the fall and
Yeah.
she's getting up at like 6 in the morning. And so everything's going to change. But the other day, she had written a text. Oh, her and her friend were together, and they were texting like a prank text thread with another of her friends. And her friend didn't know what was going on. They were saying all these jokes and kind of lies and making up stuff. And then her friend said, "I really don't like," she figured out it was a joke. And she said, "I really don't like when you do that. I've told you this before. I want to be able to trust your texts. And this makes me feel like I can't trust you when we're texting." And then I was talking to Tori about it. And Tori was like, "I don't like how she said it. It was really shaming." And I said, "I really hear you. And also, she's making a boundary, which is really good. Like making boundaries in a relationship is really good." And she goes, "Oh, okay." And she texted her friend and said, "Thank you for making a boundary." And I was like, holy shit, like she's listening to my input. Like she heard me. It was incredible.
Yeah, she's hearing your guidance, like, and taking it in and accepting it, which is also very, like, I guess, age and stage dependent, but can be very hard depending on what, like, demographic you're in, when it comes to your kids, right? Like preteens, teenagers, like that's typically the time for individuation and rejection of authority input, especially coming from parents. And you're inside of this dynamic where you can actually really non-coercively guide, and then she's like open.
Yeah, but a lot of times my daughter will be like, "Shut up, I don't want to hear it." Or she'll be like, "Be on my side." Or she'll be like, "Stop shaming me." Or like, if she feels if she feels like I'm not supporting her, she's really vocal about it. So that was a special moment where she didn't react. She just took it in.
And why do you think that is?
That well, it happens all the time. Like, she's not open all the time, but she's open a lot. We have
do you
great
know why? Do you know when she's open, why she's open, like, in those moments? Like, because of something you did or something that happened earlier? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, is there something that, like, leads to that?
I heard this term. I forget who told me it. Oh, I think my partner, the kids at school, made up this term called hormotional. Hormotional.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's very hormotional.
Right. Okay.
So it's many factors, but I'm trying to point to that. She is individuating and she does like make sure that she's autonomous a lot, but she also does let me guide her.
Mm-hmm.
Like this morning, I suggested she go on the treadmill before she took her shower, and she went and did that. And like on another day, she'll be like, no, I don't tell me. I mean, you just don't know.
And that's also because she wants that too, right? Like that's a whole separate conversation on, you know, her kind of advocating for what she wants to do right now with exercise. That's not like, you're like, oh, honey, don't forget, you need to work out today. Like that's not what that is. I just want to.
No. Yesterday I said, I'm going to ask you a question. Either answer is the right answer. And she said, okay. I said, do you want me to help you with getting on the treadmill? We just got her a treadmill. Do you want me to help you with getting on the treadmill or do you want me to stay out of it? And she said, I want you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this morning.
That's so wonderful. Like even little questions like that can be so helpful.
Oh my God. They're everything.
They're everything. These little tiny, just like, I'm just going to let you lead, you know, and I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to be curious. I'm just going to ask you and let you know that, you know, you're in the driver's seat of your own life.
Yeah.
And you can point to that over and over and over in these little micro moments.
Yeah. And it's, and I believe that as I'm doing this nighttime thing with her, I'm really being her ally, even though I have to work my process for years and years and years on this particular thing.
Yeah. I just keep thinking of myself in your shoes and I'm like, God, I don't think I could do that. I think I would snap. I think I would lose it. And no, I think I would just say, no, I'm not doing it, man. I'm sorry. I just can't. And you're just going to, you know, I know you want me there, but like, I'm just going to bed now. And like, you can come in or not. Like, I think that's what I would say.
But then your kid would either scream and cry for hours or they would come in and wake you up in your bed. And so you'd have to deal with it.
I'd say you can come in my bed. I think I would say, this is what I'm thinking in my head that I would do if I was in your shoes right now, because I haven't obviously worked through and I have nighttime stuff too. And I think it's also linked to my own trauma as well. So I'm just going to say that I've had some, I think that if my kid, if I had a 12-year-old that was like, I need you to lay with me until one and we're going to talk and this is what I need. I think I'd say, I can't do it. I think right now I'd say I'm going to go to bed at 10. And if you want, you can come into my room later, but I'm going to bed now. Like, whatever, man. I think I honestly, that's what I would do.
Well, I could do that, but then she'd come in and wake me up.
Right. And then
he'd have to go to sleep because he gets up at 5 a.m. to go to school. I sleep in the same bed with him. So she'd have to come. She'd wake both of us up.
Right.
And this is just one example, because the truth is your child will get you in these crazy situations.
Right. Well, exactly. We can't even talk about people's unique situations on this show ever, because anything could happen. My kid could do something else. Like it could be, there's so many ways that this could go.
It could be something else. They won't go to school
they're insisting that I watch TV late at night, or like they want me to sleep on the couch, or like, I don't even know. It could be so many things
they will back you up into a corner.
Yes.
No
yes.
matter how much behavioral input you got or all the stuff you watched and you did all the formulas. And that's why I did this whole episode, to show my process, my emotional process, because there's nowhere else for me to go except into trauma. And
you're saying, so basically I'm thinking about it and I mean, we don't necessarily put this in the show, but I'm thinking like about me. I'm like, okay, what would I do? Because if I had a 12-year-old that was like, I need you to stay up with me. And me as a person, I do struggle a lot with no sleep. I like get ill. I feel nauseous. It like, oh, I can't even think. It's wild. So I would probably, I feel like I would say to them, I'm going to sleep in the spare room. Okay. This is like what I think about. We have 3 bedrooms in my house. I think I'm going to sleep in the spare room. You can chill out in your room, whatever. You can come in, just come in and lay with me. Don't talk. Don't say anything. Just come lay with me and we'll do that. If you want connection, you can lay with me. I think that's what I would say.
Sure, you can try it. I mean, you could brainstorm all you want, and then whatever,
I think
things will
that's what I
happen.
would do. And then I think, because in that case with Tori's saying, no, I want you to talk. That's what it is, right?
If I was in a spare room, she'd come in, she'd literally jump on me, and she'd be like, "Mom." I mean, like, there's no option to be quiet and lie next to me.
I
That's
know, I
not
know.
happening.
I know. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like I think in my head, if I said to my kid, don't talk, well, they're 12,
No,
right?
that's happening. No.
I just like don't know how you're it's that's the thing. It's like it's so stressful hearing
You know,
about
Kara,
it. Like I would
it's not
try.
forever. Kara, it's not
No,
forever.
it's not forever. I know. It's like having a
Not
toddler.
forever.
Like it's like having a
Honestly,
young kid that doesn't sleep, you know? It's like it's not forever.
it's right. And this is more important.
And this hasn't always been like this with Tori. You ha this hasn't always been like this, has it? Or
I mean, I've been working on this trigger for at least 4 years.
staying
So
up late as well.
Staying up late. Yeah.
And before
And
that, when she was younger, like younger than 10, or no, younger than 8.
it's not just about staying up late. It's the whole process of trying to get her to go to sleep. For years, it's just been agonizing, tormenting thing because she really gets her third win at 10.
Yeah.
She gets fourth win at 11. She gets
She's
her
trying to
fifth.
stay up.
And
Yeah.
also she's a procrastinator, so all of a sudden at 11 o'clock at night, she's ready to do all the things she didn't do. She wants to work out, she wants to clean her room, she wants to write in her journal. Sometimes she's on her phone with last night she was on the phone with her best friend till midnight.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, okay, she's on the phone with her best friend. And most parents would be like, get off the phone.
Right.
I don't
And I'm
operate.
thinking like I think I would just be like, okay, I'm gonna go to sleep then. But then she's coming in and waking you up. So like you're not gonna get what I'm thinking in my head. Ideally, you want to go to bed at 10 and you want to wake up at 7 or something, right? Like you want to sleep your 8 hours.
I do get 8 hours pretty much. Well, I went to bed at 1:30 today and I woke up at 8:30. What is that? 7 hours. I think that's
Okay.
7 hours. But
If you
here's
can
the
have a
thing.
flexible wake up time too. See, if you weren't working, like if you had to get up at 6 every day,
Yeah.
who
No.
knows, right?
It's not even about this bedtime and sleep time. It's that your child, most children, not all children, most children will bring you to your edge
Yes.
of consciousness of going nuts because they are designed to go after the parts of you that are unavailable to them. And they don't do it consciously. They do it unconsciously. They take you to the brink of where you're shut down, where you're angry, where you hate yourself, where you hate them, where you're not a loving person. And they'll say, poke, 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 poke. I need you to grow in this place. And most parents just say, well, good, then I'll just control the shit out of you, and that'll be our life.
I think that kids are really pulling us to this place where we are actually ourself, like where we're embodied in ourself, like where we're conscious, we're connected, we're open, like we're actually ourself, like our authentic self with our kid, like inside of their relationship that they know with us. They're always trying to get us back to that place.
That is so beautiful. I think that's it. I
I
think
think
that's
that's what it
it.
is. I think I feel like that's happening with my toddler all the time. She wants the mommy that she knows is the real mommy. You know?
Is so beautiful. It's like our children see who we really are.
I really think so. This is just what I've been thinking about lately. Obviously, like you're gonna get triggered. You're gonna go into your different parts that are like, managing your life and thinking about the tasks and the logistics and the next thing and the other people's feelings and the responsibilities and all the things. And really what your kid just wants is you. Back to
Yeah.
you, who you are. And sometimes I can't do that. Like sometimes I can't access myself, my
No.
authentic person. And I'm just too triggered. And I know inside of different relationships too, right? Like you're not going to be able to. You have to wear the mask. It's not safe. Sometimes in front of other people. And then you might find your kid like interrupting you, mommy, 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 mommy. And it's like, because they know that's not really you. They're like, who are you now? You're in front of this lady. Like, but this is a different mommy. I don't
Yeah,
want that mommy.
right. Totally. By the way, she had another big cry after that cry. Like a couple nights later, she had another big session. I call it a session. She took another big crying session, again, very late at night. And I thought, She's probably crying because I'm out of my pattern right now. Like, she's probably so relieved and feeling so safe because I'm out of that scary mommy part that I go into.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that night that she had that big session, what were you doing? You were just feeling calm and you were feeling like you could just be you and you weren't like thinking all the scary.
I wasn't triggered. I
Yeah, you
wasn't
weren't
triggered.
triggered.
No, I
You're
was like,
just
okay,
being
I'm
you.
going
You were just
to
being
be up all
mom.
night. Yeah, I was like, we might be up all night. This is what I've decided I'm doing in order to try to get through this pattern with her. And then I did it again. I did it again like 2 nights later. And again, she had a big release emotionally. So that was the follow-up. That's what I wanted to tell everyone, that there was a big opening when I let go of the power struggle. And that's, I don't even know if I can keep doing it. I mean, just so you all know, it's not like, oh, and now we're fixed. It's like, I am still going to have to, like last night, I was like, okay. I said at 8 o'clock at night, I was talking to Will and I said, okay, let's talk about tonight. Here's a night. I don't want to go into my stuff. What do I need to do? And we started brainstorming. I mean, I have to do this every night, or, you know, because if I just don't think about it, I will just get triggered and that's that. And then you can just throw that one in the
You're
garbage. And then I
preparing,
get up
yeah.
in the morning and then I feel shame and then I have to apologize. I mean, I've done that a billion times at this point.
Yeah, and if you can't do what Ruthie is doing, and yet you're still striving to be a non-coercive, conscious, collaborative parent, I think you're still on the path, and I think it's okay to feel stuck when you're backed into a corner and you don't know what to do. If you're aware of it and you're thinking like Ruthie's thinking, because you haven't fixed it either. That's not what you're saying. You're not saying like it's over and I'm happy now and I'm la-ti-da about staying up till one every night. Like that's,
No.
I guess what I want parents to know too is that like I don't want to shame, because I'm just relating, I guess, with probably what a lot of listeners are thinking when they hear your story of like the bedtime stuff. It's like, oh, well, I could never do that. Because I really feel like I could never do that. So, but Ruthie makes a good point when you say like, but your kid's gonna back you into a wall at some point. With something.
Absolutely.
And I already, and I already experienced that in tiny ways because, little people, little problems, they say, or little kids, little problems, whatever. It's like it's happening all the time, but it's the triggers are really intense and I always have to work through them. And it's going to be the same thing. Like maybe I'll find myself in 10 years in your spot. And I'm going to be screaming though about it because I need my sleep, people.
I will help you.
Yes, I need my sleep. So I just want people to know, like, if you feel like you need your sleep and you could never do what Ruthie does, well, maybe you wouldn't and maybe you won't. But if you're aware of your triggers, then you're probably going to be communicating with your child about other solutions, at least. It reminds me of the Kelsey conversation, like occupational therapist. There's always a different way to do everything, right? So as long as you're open to that and trying to meet your kids' needs too for the connection to get the mommy that they're seeking, to get the parent that they're asking for. Then you're on the path. You don't necessarily have to stay up till one. If that really doesn't work for you, it really doesn't work for your family. I think that's okay.
Yes, and this is not necessarily about bedtime. This is about
Right.
those places
Those
that's,
places where you're backed into a corner,
yeah, that seem
where you're looking at
impossible.
yourself. That's what we're saying. Yes. This has been Your Kids Don't Suck. You can find me, Kara Tedstone, at www.karatedstonetherapy.com and on Instagram at karatedstonetherapy. On my website, you'll find links to recommended readings and a link to my Reparenting with Mindfulness workbook, available now on Amazon.
You can find me, Rathia Lee, at www.rathia.com. That's RYTHEA.com. There you'll find published books, articles, and music and parenting videos. Also, I'm on TikTok at Rathia Lee, on Instagram at Rathia Lee. You can book parent mentoring sessions with me through my website. And also, I have an Advice from a Loving Bitch YouTube show that helps people heal self-hatred, and that's rathia.com/advice. It is important and essential to put our voices, Rathia and Kara, in a context. We are two white, cisgendered, straight, middle-class women living with financial and societal privilege. Because of this, our perspectives are limited and do not reflect the realities of all of our listeners. This podcast will feature guests with expertise around conscious parenting who differ in race, class, abilities, sexual orientation, and histories from us. To
to broaden the conversation and reflect the lives of as many people as possible. 25% of the proceeds of this podcast will go to creators of color who have been mentors and influences on our work and in our growth as parents.
If you like our show, please subscribe and stay tuned for more conscious parenting advice and insights. And check out our link tree at linktr.ee/yourkidsdontsuck to donate and connect with us.